I've got to tell you guys how productive my morning was.
How productive was it?
Well, I ordered a bed like months ago and it got scheduled a bit early to come today. It was supposed to come in a few days. And I had my other old bed in my room that is like a hunk of junk. And in the span of like less than 24 hours, I managed to be able to sell my old bed and get the new bed brought into my new place. And I didn't know that there was a service that they offered where they assembled a new bed, because I'm very new to buying like nicer furniture. And so not only did they assemble my new bed, they also disassembled my old one in the span of like half an hour. I thought I'd be spending like 2 days trying to disassemble and assemble.
Yeah, throwback to me.
Throwback to Hannah.
Spending a whole day trying to put together an IKEA bed.
Okay, but this is something I didn't know, which Hannah informed me about, is that IKEA, the whole point is that you do it all yourself. I thought the whole point of IKEA was that it's like easier to assemble their furniture.
Well, I'm sure it is easier to do yourself than if you were to assemble this whole bed. But like this whole bed has been put together by like a person who builds furniture. If you look at it, it's not something that you can just put together with a couple screws.
Interesting. I don't know. It's just a really pleasant surprise.
This is adulting.
I guess this is adulting. Yeah, now I have a brand new bed in my room. It's really high. It's like towering over the rest of the furniture in my room because I just didn't think it through.
But it definitely looks like you could have a mortgage, that kind of bed.
I don't have a mortgage.
Not yet.
In Toronto. If I could afford a mortgage, why would I live in Toronto? You know what I mean? If I had that many millions of dollars to be able to have a mortgage in Toronto, why wouldn't I just live like anywhere else?
She said it first here.
I told you. How are you?
I'm good. I thought I bought a chocolate chip cookie and it was a breakfast cookie. And that was a little disappointing, but yeah. I got over it. It was still good.
That was a blow.
Look, sometimes life isn't always highs.
Someone really is trying to convince us all that those are like tasty, and I don't know, I just beg to differ.
I like a breakfast cookie when I know I'm ordering a breakfast cookie, but it just sucks to open up that bag once you've got home and you're like, oh, that's not a chocolate chip cookie.
Well, that's what I mean though. To eat a breakfast cookie, you really have to plummet your expectations. And then you're like, okay, I'll enjoy this because I know I'm going to eat something that's honestly not that enjoyable to eat. Sorry.
She's just coming out here with her cold hard opinions.
I am just full of cold hard opinions, and like most of them are wrong.
I'm Hannah.
And I'm Aya. And this is Rehash, a podcast about the social media phenomenons that strike a nerve in our culture, only to be quickly forgotten, but we think are due for a revisiting. This season is all about internet archetypes and the many, many lives they've lived. If you like our show and you want to hear more from us, you can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/rehashpodcast, where we have monthly bonus episodes, weekly mini episodes, and early access to our regular programming. If you don't want to join the Patreon, feel free to rate and review us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, because that really helps us out.
Yeah, we just hit 1,000 reviews on Spotify and we're really excited about it.
Content warning, we're going to be touching briefly on hate crimes and eating disorders in this episode. If either of those things are particularly sensitive for you, we advise that you proceed with caution. If you need to skip this one, please feel free to do so. Today, we're talking about gym cells. Sounds fake, but it's not. The idea for this episode actually came to me because I had watched this Jubilee video on YouTube called 6 Male Versions Versus 1 Fake. It's basically part of the series they do where a bunch of people try to prove to each other that they are who they say they are, and one of them is a mole, and then each round they vote out people who they think are the mole. And if the mole wins the game, they get a cash prize, but if they lose, then the remaining group does. And in this episode, there's this one guy whose reasoning for being a virgin was so niche, and he ended up actually being a virgin. But I've weirdly seen this kind of ideology pop up a lot online. I'll insert some of what he says here.
Does anyone know about sexual transmutation?
Essentially, the desire you have sex is a very strong desire, especially if you're a man. Put it into the work, put it into the gym. Watch what will happen. You will hit every goal.
So that's kind of my reason. I'm a very passionate person. When I was younger, Obviously, you have like those high school crushes and whatnot. I don't want to flex or anything, but my car outside, I bought it by myself. It's like 120K. I opened my own company, and that's all because I've stayed focused and not let myself become a part of, you know, like what's going on in society.
So I watched this and I was like, this is so fascinating. I know that this is a subculture on the internet that I just haven't looked into enough, but I know it exists because I've heard this kind of echoing through the channels of social media that I'm on. So I was talking to Hannah about it and I was trying to describe him to her. And I was like, I want to do an episode on this guy, but I can't figure out what to name him. And then I was like, oh, Jim Cells, thinking that I was such a genius for coming up with this term. But then I looked it up and Jim Cells are actually already a thing. Except the difference is this guy is allegedly choosing not to get laid, whereas Jim Cells cannot get laid. And once I looked them up, I fell into this like nofap rabbit hole, and it was just way too interesting not to make an episode about. So by now, I'm sure most of you know what an incel is. But to recap, it stands for involuntary celibate, meaning a person who has trouble having intimate relations with others. It started in the 90s with a girl named Alana, who's actually from Toronto, who made a website called Alana's Involuntary Celibacy Project, which served as a forum for people frustrated with their own sexual inactivity. And it was then a bit later in the early 2000s that two sites would pop up around the same time, which carried out this idea. One was called Incel Support, which used Alana's term in its title, and the other was called Love Shy. Love Shy is where the incel as we know it today really began to emerge. Due to the website's more lenient moderation policies, people on there started getting more and more extremist in their views, which kind of paved the way for later online communities like r/incels and 4chan. r/incels was banned from Reddit in 2017, but at its height, it had about 40,000 users. And these communities persist on darker areas of the internet right now as we speak. Hannah, can you tell us a little bit of what the general ideology of an incel is? From your knowledge?
Yeah, so the incels that we know today are typically men who feel that they are being denied sex. So they're not sexually active, but it's because of some like systemic forces against them. So women and their standards, or it's the way that society props up other men over them, but it has this real like, it's the world's fault that I'm not getting laid mentality.
Yeah, and I think that projection onto the world and the kind of blame game that's happening is going to play like a huge part in this episode. That was a really great definition.
Thank you.
So according to the Center for Research and Evidence on Security Threats, the incel worldview is based on the notion that attractiveness is predetermined by genetic factors, which dictate our physical appearance, and these are the main features that women find attractive in men. Those who subscribe to the incel ideology believe these physical traits to be substandard in themselves, and that they are doomed to a life of involuntary celibacy. The empirical evidence indicates that this notion contributes to a sense of being isolated and lonely, which drives individuals to become increasingly frustrated and jealous of those around them who they perceive to be in happy sexual relationships. So it kind of breeds this negative pattern of thinking, which finds company in other people who think the same way very easily.
Oh yeah, for sure. And like, it's this commiseration that happens on platforms like 4chan and Reddit or whatever, where it's guys who, instead of having someone give them like an outsider's perspective of maybe there are these other factors going on, maybe it's not this biologically predetermined thing, it's other guys who feel the same way and are like, yeah, it's because we're ugly, man, it's because Chad's and Stacy's, blah blah blah.
Yeah, exactly. Incel Wiki does have a bit more of like a vague, delicate definition. Incel Wiki kind of is like made by incels is what I'm assuming. I've used it a lot for this episode for research just because that is where a lot of the information about incels exists on the internet. So Incel Wiki says the term incel refers to a quote, common adverse life circumstance, and that this condition of being incel is a certain kind of non-sexuality. They also make it clear that while normies believe that people call themselves incels as an outward display of hate, quote, actual self-identified incels often use the term in a self-deprecating or self-defeating manner, which I think kind of plays into what the previous definition was saying about them as well. But then lastly, Incel Wiki states outright that, quote, no mass murderers are known to have been primarily motivated to commit their crimes by online communities devoted to involuntary celibacy.
And that's just blatantly untrue.
It is categorically untrue. For those of you who don't know, in 2014, 22-year-old Elliot Roger murdered 6 people in California, confessing in a video he filmed shortly before the murders that he wanted to punish women for rejecting him and punish sexually active men because he was jealous of them. He had also described himself in online forums as an incel and is sometimes referred to by incels as the supreme gentleman. And then in 2018, Alec Minassian drove a van through the streets of Toronto and killed 11 people. He was also a self-described incel and wrote a manifesto before the attacks, vowing to, quote, overthrow the Chads and Stacys.
Yeah.
We were both in Toronto when that happened and can attest that it was fucking terrifying.
And I think it was the time a lot of people were hearing about what an incel was for the first time. I know Elliot Rodger happened earlier and that, you know, brought it into the discussion a bit. But I remember a lot of articles after the Toronto van attacks saying, like, this is what an incel is and, like, explaining the culture of it.
So kind of what you were getting at earlier with the insular commiseration, I feel like the way that incels operate, they operate on another plane of reality, almost in a cultish way. I'm not going to call them a cult, but in a sort of cultish way. And by virtue of that, they have their own jargon or coded language that they use to categorize, like, literally everything and anything. So are you familiar with any incel terminology? I think you said a few of the things earlier.
Yeah, I know Chads and Stacys are hot men and women, like stereotypical jocks and cheerleader types. And then I think there's Beckys, which are intellectual, like, girls that are also too good for them or something.
But, like, less attractive than Stacys.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm sure there's other stuff that I can't remember, but it's mostly just that.
Well, there's quite a few. This is not even touching the surface of the amount of jargon, but I'll just go through a couple or a few. Soy boys are an effeminate, feminist, or non-fighting man with low athleticism. They're called soy boys because incels think that soy lowers your testosterone. Normies are an average person who stands somewhere between the Chads and the incels. They also use alpha and beta male a lot.
Right.
No sigmas here. They also have a ton of really bizarre subcategories of incel. There's bald cell, short cell, or manlet is one of the synonyms for that.
Oh my god.
Frame cell, that's someone who has young bone structure. Clown cell, this is someone who loves the Joker. Fake cell, someone pretending to be an incel.
Why?
For what reason, we do not know. Curry cell, which
I can surmise. Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of racist overtones involved in incel language, some of which I don't even want to say aloud. And med cell, someone with mental problems.
Oh, I thought it was going to be incel doctors.
I know. I read it too and I was like, oh, is he going to do like surgery on all the incels? Like, what's the...
Oh, I was just thinking like doctors who can't get it.
Virgin doctor. So there are two big components of inceldom that lead to and kind of like make up what gem cells are. They kind of inform what they are.
Okay.
This is where we arrive at the term looks maxing. Have you heard of this before?
I'm not sure, but the word sounds familiar, but is it the idea of them getting plastic surgery and shit like that?
Plastic surgery is a big part of it. It basically encapsulates any attempt at improving your appearance.
Okay, yeah.
So according to Incel Wiki, which, yes, will be a big source of information in this episode, looks maxing originated on PSL forums. So that means pickup artist hate, slut hate, and lookism forums. Those are not to be conflated with incel forums. Like, some people on those forums don't associate with being incels. Pickup artist hate, or PUA hate, was where Elliot Rodger used to operate. So on these forums, people would use like maxing as a suffix to describe self-improvement in any way. So looks maxing is, you know, improving your looks. Looks maxing actually has its own website, which I went through. I went to their main forum, which is a bit dead now, but it's essentially just like different pretty earnest posts from guys asking about ways that they can like alter themselves to be more attractive. One person was asking for pretty boy hair ideas. This other person who looked like a teenager was asking what people thought about his jaw structure because he was insecure about how asymmetrical it was. One was asking about how he could change his hair texture. Someone wanted to know how to get taller. One was a 15-year-old apparently who wanted to know how to, quote, puberty max, which I think is trying to look older. And right. Then a lot of people were just asking others to like rate their appearance.
I've heard of that.
Yeah. And people are really harsh about it, but they'll take it kind of well. Like, they'll be like, thank you, I am ugly.
Well, I always thought of it as this sort of masochistic thing, right? Where you do get this weird enjoyment out of people confirming your worldview, which is that like you are so ugly and that's why you're unlovable.
Yeah, totally. I think it is kind of this self-confirmation.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you think of all that? Like, do you think that the things I just described or like this forum, do you think it's innately harmful, or do you think there is like a weird level of wholesomeness there? Wholesomeness might not be the right word, but I was trying to think of a different word.
Like, I understand the idea of looking for community if you're feeling, like, so deeply insecure, but I think it's similar to the way that we're now starting to discourage that kind of nitpicking about looks in women's media, especially media for young girls or teenagers that talks about, you know, certain body types and certain facial features, because we know that putting those thoughts into people's heads and having them dissect their looks that way, like, even if it's like you're doing it to look for comfort, it's harmful. Mm-hmm. It's just really, really bad for the human psyche to be dissecting the way you look and then to, like, have that impact the way that you interact with the outside world. Because if you think you're ugly, you're going to go through the world feeling like that, and you're going to base your interactions with people off of that perception. And So I mean, I understand people need community, and, like, these are lonely people, makes sense, but I would say no, I don't think communities based off of looks or innate insecurities are ever healthy.
I think that it does have actual, not only is it just, like, psychologically dangerous and, like, just unhealthy, like you were saying, and toxic, but it also has literal dangerous effects. I did find it kind of oddly endearing that there is a space where men could, yeah, like you were saying, openly talk about their physical insecurities with one another. I think, like, since women are pushed unhealthy beauty standards so openly in the media, there's a bit more room for us to talk about body image issues, but there may not be as much space for men to talk about that as openly because their beauty standards are, like, a bit more covert. It was interesting for me to go through it and see that men are experiencing these insecurities too, and, like, earnestly seeking out advice or help, even though it might be misguided.
Sure.
There was an element of it to that for me that I was expecting much more terrifying things, and it kind of took me by surprise in a way. My big thing, though, is that the forum tends to operate along pretty pseudoscientific language.
I feel like it would get super eugenics-y.
Yes, there is a lot of whitewashing and that sort of stuff, but a lot of them recommend a lot of harmful methods for physical alterations. One guy recommended the relaxin hormone, which is a reproductive hormone produced by women's ovaries and placenta, for height growth. I don't even know how you take that. I literally don't understand.
How do you... Oh,
I have no idea. Someone recommended that this other guy chew gum as much as he can and do neck workouts to get better facial structure. And then I came across this one post called Testing a 4-Month Dick Maxing Protocol, where this guy said, I will be injecting 50 milligrams of IGF-1 directly into my penis 3 days a week, as well as topical DHT applied daily. This will be combined with 500 milligrams of testosterone injected per week. This is for muscles. I will be using Bathmate 2 to 3 times a week as well, if I can manage. Current stats are 7.5 inches by 5.25 inches, bone pressed. I will keep you all posted. My original plan was to use IGF systematically for overall frame growth, wrists, hands, feet, skull. But I stumbled down the cock max rabbit hole, and we all know that if we got to choose between bigger wrists and a fatter cock, which would you pick, LOL? And then this person responded in all caps, where did you arrange all of these drugs? To which the guy responded, I have a very, very good source from being in the right places on the internet. I don't want to disclose it here, though, for obvious reasons.
Oh, God.
So basically his sources trust me.
Oh my god, that makes me want to go live in a cabin in the woods.
It makes me want to peel my skin off. It's like, oh my god. But yeah, just very dangerous. Like, it, you know, I don't even know if that guy's telling the truth, obviously, but to be recommending that, there are a lot of teenagers clearly on there. Very vulnerable people who, you know, might actually seek out these, like, ridiculous methods.
But it doesn't feel that crazy when you think about something like Ozempic being, like, the big topic of the moment, where it's like people are putting themselves in harm's way and also just messing around with medication supplies to get skinny because they're taking diabetes drugs.
Yeah, I can't.
And that's happening in the mainstream. Like, we are talking about it. It's not happening in, like, 4chan. We are openly talking about how many famous people are doing that.
Exactly. Yeah, it's really not that far off.
No, but again, it's women, so of course they're gonna do crazy stuff and, like, threaten their lives to look skinny.
I know, it's just weird seeing it kind of reverse. Doesn't make it any better. It's sad.
We're just less shocked by it.
Another thing is that look maxing really wields this sort of motivational language. And this is kind of where the second component of the gym cell kind of came in for me, or, like, what kind of leads to the gym cell. Fabstinence. Hannah, you want to take a guess as to what that is?
I think it has to do with, like, keeping sperm count up, because I don't know why, but it's like men avoid masturbating in order to retain their sperm.
So that's kind of like the normie way of doing it, I would say. Like, to kind of retain it, like save it for a partner, like save it for fertility, whatever.
Oh, no, but or just to save it because you think it makes you manlier.
So, yeah, that kind of is getting into what this is. Fabstinence is a portmanteau of fapping and abstinence. It means that men will like abstain, like you're saying, from jacking off or consuming porn for some like higher purpose. So kind of similar to what the guy in the Jubilee video was getting at with his like virginity mantra. But basically, men who ascribe to abstinence believe that non-masturbating will increase their testosterone levels, so to be more manly. And by increasing testosterone, they'll also increase their outward confidence, which will allow them to talk to women better. And even Incel Wiki is dubious about the scientific founding of this concept, but it told me that abstinent men, quote, believe that high T men exude a greater animal magnetism that is highly attractive to women, often obviating these men's need to approach women altogether. And that, quote, some more enthusiastic abstinents also appear to believe this T increase would positively affect their muscle or bones in a noticeable way. So, like, essentially, it is kind of a form of look maxing.
Yeah, it is. And then, I mean, I think the intended purpose of looks maxing is to confidence max, right?
Well, it's kind of going into what you're saying about if someone's unattractive, they'll be put if, or feels inside of themselves that they're unattractive, they'll be putting that out there to the world in their demeanor. So like they think that by completely altering themselves to adhere to these like insane beauty standards, that they'll be putting out confidence. And like that, the confidence comes through the looks, not just inside yourself.
Well, absolutely, because I feel like a lot of the time these guys are really also just normal looking men. Like, it's made up, but it's the same way that body dysmorphia works, like, across the board.
Exactly.
You know.
It's a completely warped, like, self-perception. So this is where we finally get to Jim Cells, who adhered kind of to these two different facets of the ideology of incels. One being looks maxing, so trying to improve your looks, and then the other being abstinence, in the sense of, like, prioritizing restraint. So there's this post I found on r/NoNutNovember where a guy posts a pic. I was deep in the Reddits. Posts a pic of his jacked body and captions it, "I compete to convert as many coomers," that's someone who masturbates too much, "into gym cells, or at least talk to women. There is more to life than porn and masturbating alone." So this is kind of essentially the heart of what being a gym cell is, in a way. Like, a gym cell, from what I found, is someone who goes to the gym and lifts weights in order to be more attractive to women, to improve his chances of getting laid, but also to improve himself. But it's someone who feels like they can't get laid. Although there is some debate about whether or not it's the getting laid or self-improvement that takes priority over the other. It's not clear which one is more important to gym cells.
Right, because I feel like once your entire identity becomes wrapped up in being somebody who is celibate, then once you break that, you've kind of severed, I assume, your ties to your community and your entire identity.
Yeah, you're not really an incel, but do incels want incels to leave the incel community? Like, do they want them to ascend and not be virgins? The thing about gym cells is that it sets up this binary between, like, virgins who work out and, like, Chad Lotharios who work out. And they're, like, opposing goals for doing so.
What about, like, normal people who have normal sex lives who just take care of themselves at the gym? Do they factor into the incel
normies
world?
Normies don't matter. Okay. I don't. For some reason, normies just don't exist, even though they have a name for them. I think this kind of binary is best exemplified in this meme that I'll describe here. Do you want to look at it, Hannah?
I guess. Not great art.
So it's this meme where there's two little figures on each side and each of them have their little title. On the left side, it says, "The Virgin Walkout." There's no R. It's just walkout. And in the Virgin Workout, it is a man who is wearing a cutoff gray hoodie, holding a red barbell, and he has black capri pants on, and his face is purple and he has glasses on. And around him, it says, it's like these little things pointing to him, like a diagram almost explaining he is. So it says, "Wears a hoodie despite it being 37 degrees Celsius, just so he isn't noticed." I wonder if this is made by a Canadian. "Trains for strength / himself. Trains back a lot, but no one can see it, so it's as if he didn't, LMAO. Trains most of the time alone. Big girly butt. Mostly trains lower body, giving him horrible unaesthetic proportions. Takes 15 minutes to rack and unrack the weight, making minimum noise. Small calves. Always wears dark / neutral. Sweats too much. Always leaves sweat puddles. Uses a type of shoe only for squats and Olympic shit. Who cares? Turns purple during heavy. Always looking down to avoid eye contact at all costs. wears glasses, in brackets, shattered. It's kind of the gist of it. And then
is this a real person?
The Chad Cultivation. That's the title of the guy on the right side.
Okay.
So this guy is super jacked. He has like a really veiny, ripped body, and he's wearing bright neon green like cargo shorts and yellow pointy shoes, and has like a yellow triangle for hair, and his tiny wife beater can barely contain his pecs. So the things around him say huge, massive upper body, hair is on point, unable to move unless noticed, trains without any reason, pumpkin delts, makes a lot of noise, twinks ask him for advice. Tight, solid butt, the perfect size, so not too girly, not too weak. Huge calves, no quads for perfect aesthetics. He has sex in the bathroom when resting and uses clogs.
So wait, are these supposed to be two real people that exist in the world to these men?
Well, it's a meme, so I don't know. I think it's like who they envision to be the gym cell versus like a Chad working out.
Okay.
And it's hard to tell who they revere more because, like, they hate the gym cell. I don't know, like, the gym cell's a sad character, but...
But they hate themselves and do think that they're sad characters.
I know, that's what I mean, like...
I hate it. I hate that.
I kind of love it.
It is really, really so specific about men's bodies.
Yeah, what they decide is good and what they decide is bad or is so arbitrary.
Also, they're, like, if they're the gym cells or, like, they're the virgins working out... And they're like, he's only doing these types of workouts. It's like, but if that's you, do a different workout.
It's officially 2026, and my New Year's resolution is to prioritize high-quality pieces in my wardrobe. Thanks to Quince, I can already check that off my list. I'm already planning outfits around my new cotton Oxford shirt. It's such a classic, timeless piece that I know I'll be rewearing all year. Need more than just a wardrobe update? Quince has tons of options for the home as well. Maya has had the same dinnerware since college and has finally decided it's time for a refresh, starting with a gorgeous set of ceramic cake plates. Refresh your wardrobe with Quince. Don't wait. Go to quince.com/rehash for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/rehash to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/rehash.
It's hard to tell, again, like, what the general gym cell ideology is. This writer, Hussein Kazvani, did an article for Mel Magazine where he talks to a self-described gym cell named Michael, who said he was tired of incels blaming society for their lack of achievements and that the gym was a place where he felt like he could achieve something and that setting gym goals was manageable, quote, when you compare going to the gym to dating.
I mean, look, the idea of like coping with something that you're unhappy with or just like something that, yeah, like makes you feel bad in your life by like finding another interest and
an
like
outlet.
Yeah, I don't think that that's an inherently bad thing at all.
I know. Well, Michael sounds like he's using the gym as a way to like let his frustration out about not being able to get laid, which is interesting.
Well, I definitely think it's like healthier than the other kinds of outlets that incels have turned to.
Yeah.
Who is he harming by going to the gym?
Who's he harming? But then this doesn't seem to be like the majority opinion on what a gym cell is.
Okay.
Like within the wider incel verse, like getting jacked at the gym is understood as a way to like improve your looks.
Right.
And then thus be able to get laid. Like it was hard for me to find any self-described gym cells besides this guy because the gym cells subreddit got taken down. A lot of the time it's like the way that I was reading about gym cells was informed by people who aren't gym cells.
Okay. Well, it also feels like there's crossover between them and just male life guru advice guys and like workout coaches that sometimes will pop up on TikTok that also are just have these really horrible views on like women and dating and do push that no nut November kind of thing.
Well, you're tapping into the manosphere, and the manosphere is like basically this wider constellation of like misogynistic men that exists. So, like pickup artists are a part of it. Like those kind of like gym bro, like motivation guys, crypto bros, like they're all kind of like interwoven in one way or another.
But incels, do they hate the manosphere?
I don't know. I didn't look into that.
Because
I would assume that they don't want to be associated with pickup artists if they hate pickup artists, right?
Well, that's what I mean. It sounds like the manosphere doesn't sound like it's primarily defined by being virgins.
Well, no, the manosphere is defined by outside forces, not by people within the manosphere. Okay. Like, I don't think they call themselves, I don't know for sure, but I don't think they call themselves the manosphere. I think other people call them that to tap into this like general trend of misogyny happening in our culture and like on the internet more specifically.
Right.
Have you ever come across someone who seems like a gym cell on dating apps at all?
It's not something I can really tell just from like a profile. If somebody's profile is just like workout pictures, it's kind of an immediate swipe left for me that I'm not even really reading their bio. It's just not something. Well,
yeah, I just think what I'm more referring to is like I'll sometimes come across, yeah, these pictures of a guy and it's like his ripped pecs or like just a picture of his biceps and no name. It'll be like V and then no bio and no face. And you're like, who is this for? And it always makes me think that these are the people who might fall into this category.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? I think what really underscores like these different, you know, different incel belief systems is this idea of control. Like the idea that there are parts of your life that you can take responsibility for and like alter in order to have a better life and like achieve your dreams, even if that means, you know, completely like just getting a new face, for example, or getting a new body by working out at the gym. Would you say that you're seeing a pattern there of control?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're also just living in this really dark time where, like, if somebody has the money to change the way they look dramatically, they can. And there are patterns we've seen, at least with celebrities, where that actually does help them in their success, in their careers. We look at a lot of actresses who, like, pop up out of nowhere and you know, Google a few years back and they have completely different faces. And I'm not judging those actresses.
Kylie Jenner, her entire empire is basically was catalyzed by her full body plastic surgery that she got.
Yeah, the Kardashians sort of generally, even someone like Bella Hadid, who like we both really like Bella Hadid, she would not have the career she had if she didn't have access to that kind of.
No, exactly. And it's scary to have that like kind of confirmed. Well, in a 2020 study she did for the International Center for Counterterrorism, Sarah Bruskovich talks a lot about how inceldom is defined by like a locus of control. So she says, locus of control is the degree to which people believe that they, as opposed to external forces beyond their influence, have control over the outcome of events in their lives. And like, I think when it comes to gym cells and like fabstinence and looks maxing in general, they operate within this like internal locus of control. So like in order to maintain a grasp on a world that's like so driven by chaos, you can control certain aspects of your life to make the world a bit easier to live in for yourself. Mm-hmm. Or as Bruskovich puts it, the belief that they control the direction of their life. And like all of this like motivational and like pseudoscientific language is meant to form logic around things that incels think are illogical. You know what I mean? Like the way that they over-categorize things.
It's not unlike being someone who is devoutly religious.
Oh, interesting.
Right? Because especially, I mean, people who fall into religion because they're going through a really hard time or just like thinking about people who are lost or like depressed in some way, instead of internalizing everything and like feeling like, you know, everything is your fault, it can be comforting to be like, there are all these rules that you can follow that will like make things easier. There's like solutions for you if you follow this doctrine. Mm-hmm. And also just because when you are depressed and you don't really have like something to kind of guide you, you really do look at everything as a product of your own faults or your own mistakes. And so I can see like being drawn to like a worldview that helps you feel like, no, there are things you can do that actually minimize.
And that it's the world's responsibility, not yours. That, or like the world's failure is not your own. You can change it within that.
Yeah, if you follow these things, you are doing the best that you can. Because I don't know, I feel like when you're depressed, you don't really have the rationale to look at things in a nuanced way. And this isn't a nuanced way of looking at things, but at least it feels easier to digest than just like hatred for yourself. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I'm writing about kind of like grief right now for a project I'm working on. And you know, a huge aspect of grief is like trying to over rationalize and catalog every different little aspect leading up to when the grief starts occurring, like leading up to a death, for example. When you lose someone, you're like, but then what were the specific things that were happening leading up to that? What time did they die? Like, you really need to categorize every moment. Like, what hour was it when I was thinking about this 4 hours before this person passed away? And it's like this way of trying to regain like a grasp on the world in a situation that is so senseless, right?
Yeah.
And so it does feel like the way that they try to categorize these things, even though we think there's a logical explanation for the why they're not getting laid, like they don't think there is, other than that the world is fucked. And so feels like them going to the gym to try and control that, like it gives them a sense of like respite almost.
Yeah, it's like a way to mitigate things. I mean, it's just the way that we like fall into any belief system, and religion is a belief system. Even if it's not holy, there's still that kind of same structure.
Do you see any parallels here at all to eating disorders? Because that kept coming up for me in my mind when I was researching for this. I couldn't stop thinking about,
of course,
how similar it is.
Well, also like exercise addiction and eating disorders are sort of under the same umbrella.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of eating disorders are in some ways rooted, I think, in the idea of control. Controlling yourself and your behaviors, and then like thus controlling the way you look.
Even if it's not intentional. Or like even if it's not a conscious choice.
I just think it's like kind of a classic story. It's a way that people can feel like they have a handle on like one aspect of their life. And so yeah, if these guys feel like everything in their life is wrong and is repelling other human beings from like being in their atmosphere, then it makes sense that they would want to feel like that they have a grasp on at least one element of it, especially an element they think is so important or vital to remedying that.
Mm-hmm, totally. I do want to make clear that gym cells occupy a pretty sticky space within the incel community. Mm. Do you have an idea of why incels might not like gym cells?
Because they're trying to better themselves and they're trying to find a solution, or what they think is a solution to what they think is like an innate problem inside of them, right? Like if you're an incel and you're like, well, this is just how the world works and people don't like me and women don't like me and that's just how it is and it's unfair. And you look at someone who is still guided by those principles, but then is like, well, maybe there is some kind of a solution for me. Then yeah, I can see why they wouldn't like them. It almost feels like they're people who are on the mend from inceldom, even if they still have all their own same issues and like the manosphere isn't any better. But
yeah, like they're trying to get a way out. There's a study from last year by Maddalena Canito and Raffaella Camaletto, which looks at this famous Italian blogger and IT entrepreneur named Salvatore Aranzulla, who used to be considered a hero in the incel community. You know, someone who was perceived as weak and unattractive and like a nerd who managed to find success despite his exterior traits. He's like quite wealthy. But recently, Aranzulla has started bodybuilding and posting a lot of pictures of like, you know, his newfound muscles and whatnot. And now he's being labeled by the community as a gym cell in these different incel forums. This got incels all in a frenzy. Some people think Aranzulla's looks maxing is like a good way to increase his looks score, because there's this thing called LMS, so looks, money, and status.
God.
You know, you kind of need all those things to be like an ultimate chat, I guess. So his looks score is going up. He has the money and the status. Many also thought that like nothing could change his ugly face. I looked the guy up. He really isn't ugly, so I don't really know what they're saying. But this is what Canito and Ferrero say. They say, basically, they're studying these forums. And so they take all of these like replies in these forums and then amalgamate them and look at patterns in what the replies are. Okay. And they say the prevalent position reifies the distinction between a beautiful face and being a real ugly as a matter of natural destiny and as a given privilege / disadvantage in the sexual market. Aranzulla's attempts to change his physical nature is considered not only as useless and ridiculous, but also as a betrayal of the incel community. And I'm sure you guys have noticed that I haven't provided Incel Wiki's definition of what a gym cell is yet. It's because this is what it is.
Okay.
A gym cell, according to Incel Wiki, is an incel who copes by working out, thinking that a muscular body can compensate for an unattractive face. Gym cells will often spend many hours in the gym trying to improve their body in the hope of attracting women, but this usually doesn't play out. Evidence has shown that it's mostly in the face that determines whether women feel attracted to a particular man. Many top male models have incredibly attractive faces, tall stature, and good frame, but are not overly muscular. Some of them are even skinny.
You want to know what is the most attractive trait on a person? Having a life and being confident and like happy is all I'm gonna say.
Not making contributions to Incel Wiki.
But it makes me sad. Hearing all this just makes me sad.
It's very depressing. The takeaway is that incels do not like gym cells.
Yes.
Even within their official pages, they mock them.
Well, because they have hobbies.
Do you want to give the listeners a breakdown of what the pills mean in the incel universe?
It's a matrix metaphor. So like Neo takes the blue pill or the red pill. The blue pill is like continuing to live in the matrix. So in this case, for incels, it's continuing to live in a world where you don't believe men are the true like oppressed people. And then a red pill means waking up and realizing that men are oppressed in our society.
That's exactly it. So once a man swallows the red pill, he has two options. He can recognize that this is how the world is, that women are more valued than men and only attractive men can succeed. And once this has happened, he can accept that, but he can try and change the situation via like looks maxing and becoming a gym cell in an attempt to become an alpha male. But this is also considered by incels to be swallowing the blue pill actually and continuing to live in delusion. The other option is to then swallow the black pill. The black pill is what makes up the more extremist subsects of the incel universe. It's a fatalist idea that being unwanted by women is predetermined and immutable. And then within that, there is no solution to this systemic condition. This is a belief that informed some of the atrocities committed by people like Roger and Manassian. Brushkevitz says, "Once a man takes the black pill, it's over," a very common incel sentence, often followed by, "It never began." These few words summarize the victimhood narratives of the incel galaxy, according to which if you're ugly and not rich, you have absolutely no chance of ever being happy in intersexual relations.
This is just being depressed. When you are depressed, you're like, I'm doomed. Nothing is ever going to be good for me. And it's not really about any of the actual factors in your life. You're never looking at what you do have going for you or like what could happen or like all the possible outcomes that come with being a human being.
There is no silver lining.
No, there's nothing and there's no future. And it's like, this isn't about you being what you think is like an ugly man. This is you being depressed. I feel like I'm giving a lot of empathy to incels.
Well, I think if we can't give them empathy, there might not be a solution, right? And like, you can't de-radicalize people if you can't see potential in them coming out of that mindset, right?
It's just like, this is someone who needs psychological help.
And I also do think that this ideology, this like black pill ideology and this like hating of the gym cell, you know, I was talking about the locus of control earlier, and I think, you know, I was talking about the internal one. So gym cells use an internal locus of control where they at least try to change situations within themselves. But this one is an external locus of control, or quote, the belief that life is controlled by outside factors that one cannot influence. So like when it comes to gym cells and the reason people like Aaron Zula are seen as traitors to the community is that, you know, being able to enhance your appearance via like muscle growth goes against that core tenet of being an incel, like that biological and societal destiny will never change. So gym cells are basically seen as failures within this larger incel community because it's like a midway point between the red and the black pill, or like it's even considered taking the blue pill, or it's kind of this sad misstep before deciding that nothing is worth it.
Well, yeah, it just sounds like different levels of depression, right? When you're in that kind of medium stage, or maybe you're getting out of it, or you're catching yourself falling into a depression, you're like, I am going to take these actions to try and like mitigate these things and try and stop it from getting worse or like improve my situation.
But then operating in this plane of reality that isn't tethered to our own, really, like they're operating in this fake universe online that has all these languages and these predatory forums where people will try and tell you that you can do XYZ like dangerous things to get, like, it's just scary.
It reminds me of like being on Tumblr as a teenager and having mental health struggles and then just being bombarded with a lot of content that sort of romanticized or encouraged that kind of thinking, whether you were depressed or like I wasn't on eating disorder Tumblr. It sounds like that was like its own just insidious kind of echo chamber. When you are sad and you do find yourself spending more time online and like that's the kind of messaging you're being bombarded with, why would you feel encouraged to like seek betterment? Because you kind of like look at people who are doing okay and you think they don't really see things the way they really are.
If you feel isolated in your daily environment, but you're finding like-minded people in an online environment, why would you leave that? Because that's where your peers are, you know? So it's really hard to get out of those rabbit holes or to get out of those communities because it's a community that you don't feel like you have in real life.
You're going to become more interested in that subject matter so that you can fit in and participate with the people that you were like finding company with.
I think it stems from just this ongoing societal alienation problem that we're having right now. These are just really alienated people. And I think that's like the core issue with it.
But the thing is the term incel, like you mentioned before, it was created by a queer woman. And it was like really just about people finding solace with each other who like maybe have bad shyness or social phobia or whatever. And like, yeah, that is one level to it, but it did become an insidious place, and it did become a place full of sexism and racism and like these other elements. And that doesn't necessarily exist in every online community of like people who are dealing with mental illness. So how did that happen?
Yeah, like I think that just the way that maybe men are culturally conditioned to be able to take their frustration out in physical ways, and because, you know, sexism does exist and there is gender parity, the conclusion of some of this is when someone becomes more extremist within a group that hates another group and that is the sole cause of their community, then it will result in violence.
God, it's hard because that is kind of the issue with like internet community, I suppose, is that there's always potential for it to become toxic for a variety of different reasons, but then it's also like we talked about with the Taylor Swift episode, even just like there are very valid reasons and sometimes even like beneficial reasons for why people look for community online. I guess that's the big question, is like, how do you find that good place? How do you stop it from going overboard? Not that I think Swifties are going to become anything like
incels. Well, you don't predicate your community on blaming an entire other subset of the population for what's going on with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We talked about this a bit in the Himbos episode, but do you think this could be related to more general problems surrounding beauty standards with men?
I think it's like rooted a lot in just the issue with having like beauty standards and having like a capitalist market also just based in body modification and I don't know, all the different things that people do to like look or feel attractive. It is difficult and exhausting to try and keep up with being sold a certain way to look or present yourself, regardless of gender. Male beauty standards are a creation of men.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, I think it's a kind of self-imposed reversal of beauty standards. Like men feel like they have to change their bodies to appeal to this female gaze, when in reality the gaze is male, like we were talking about with the Himbos episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
And but obviously women's beauty standards are moving at a much more rapid pace, like we had been talking about earlier, and men's beauty standards I think are changing way slower and evolving way slower. And even the beauty standard that we apply to men now, you see applied to like Greek statues made years ago, so there's a bit less to keep up with almost. But I do think that, yeah, of course, this is still, in my opinion, attributed to, you know, male beauty standards that they have imposed upon themselves.
And I think all beauty standards are dangerous and can wreck your brain a little bit.
Canito and Camoletto, in their study, talk a bit about how the discourse around gym cells has to do with the neoclassical economy. So they say that obviously a huge aspect of inceldom is a symptom of this like post-truth society that we're living in, where like incels traffic in this world of jargon and fake science that creates this distorted and dangerous worldview. But then they also say that, quote, the marketization of private life is typical of late capitalism, and these groups of men are the product both of its crisis and of the diffusion of its logics into all societal relations. This is also reinforced by the affirmation of a post-feminist discourse sustaining an ideal female subjectivity characterized by self-empowerment and entrepreneurialism, including investment in body capital and body work. So it does show that men are also kind of being preyed upon. I talked about in, you know, my Sex and the City video, about how capitalism will strip away our humanity and then sell us books on how to be more human. Mm-hmm. And I kind of see that playing out here. Like all of these wider mainstream systems that you were talking about with like the bodybuilders and these gym bros on TikTok, which kind of market these ideals about like motivation and lifting and getting gains and self-improvement and like stonks. They kind of prey upon these vulnerable and lonely men because they're being like, you're a pathetic loser, but you won't be pathetic if you just optimize yourself, you know?
Totally. The beauty industries and then subsequent industries that like sell us basically like our gender identities like are insidious. Like they will find a way to like
feast on you.
It's sad to see men who clearly also experience the same kinds of insecurities that these like incel guys have like going and then trying to make a buck off of their insecurities.
Yeah. But we have been debating off air about how much empathy we can extend to the incels. Like you were saying, you can't, you can only extend it so far. Or sympathy, I would say, not empathy.
I think that these are individuals, at least from what I've seen or what I understand, who are like dealing with depression, things that I can just like resonate the idea of self-hatred, right? I can resonate with that. But my primary issue is just, I don't want to give too much validity to the idea that part of this is also because of the rigid beauty standards we impose on men. Obviously, there are beauty standards for men. They are valid, and male insecurity is valid. We all live in this capitalist hellscape where people are selling us insecurities, selling us ways to remedy it. It's horrible. I just, having lived an experience as a woman in this world, knowing what it's like to be bombarded with imagery and messages that tell me to hate myself, hate my body, hate the way I look, and that ties those things to my self-worth, it's just hard to then look at these radicalized groups of men and fully extend empathy to them. It's exhausting because you don't see girls from eating disorder Tumblr committing mass murder. It's hard. It's hard to talk too much about men's beauty standards without in my mind going, but hey, wait a minute, I have hated the way I look since I was like able to like recognize my appearance in the mirror.
To me, at this point in my life, like I have already decided that incels are dangerous and that they scare me, and I get personally a ton of hate from this community, really derogatory hate. But I think the only way to understand this and like maybe to see a way out is to be like, okay, maybe, you know, we're all experiencing beauty standards to one degree or another imposed on us by this insidious predatory system of capitalism. And that we are living in this world where we're alienated. And yes, it's scary that men are being radicalized in these forums. But maybe if we all realize that we're all being victims of this system, that we can move forward.
Internalized self-hatred sucks regardless of your gender. Of course. That's just not the only element there.
Of course. And the other element is like hate. And like we were saying earlier, they blame women for their problems. And the reason that they become extreme is because they're blaming women for what's going on instead of wider systemic issues.
Yeah.
Like, I do think that that is the other part of the problem.
Of course.
Like, when I'm the issue. I do think we both ultimately agree on the issue. Like, neither of us wants incels to be incels, and we don't want them, we want them to stop hating women. But that we also, you know, can understand that where maybe these issues are stemming from.
Yeah, I think, obviously, there it's a very complicated subject matter. I'm sure anybody who talks about it has confused feelings on, especially if you're willing to admit the fact that these are human beings behind 4chan.
Well, there's too many of them to discount that maybe there's a wider trend happening and that it's scary, and the fact that it's gone into extremist territory is scary. But at least, you know, localizing the isolation and the alienation can maybe, getting to the root cause of the problem can maybe help, while also understanding that there is deep-rooted sexism in our world and it's scary to be a woman. I just got catcalled by like 40 construction workers and it was a humiliating experience.
Yeah, on our own street.
On our own street. So, you know, to end off, really, who is deciding who has an ugly face here? Is this like what the definition of butterface is?
I think it is, but it's a butter's face.
Butter's face. Or a grenade. Is that what a grenade is?
No, grenade is, it's like, I'll take the grenade. It's like you'll sacrifice yourself with a woman that you don't think is attractive for your friend.
Is Pauly D considered a Chad?
I'm sure all of those men are considered Chads. I bet, like, even though it's 2023 and not 2009, I bet a lot of those incels are, like, thinking about those Jersey Shore guys, you know?
They watch Jersey Shore and they're like, how does this ideal male specimen operate in the world?
Ugh, God. I mean, I feel like that would brainwash you to watch those guys go out and, like, pick up girls every night. Ugh.
And so the moral of the story is Jersey Shore will radicalize you in one way or another.
Rehash is hosted by Hannah Rain and me, Maia. It's produced and edited by me, and the intro and outro song is produced by our talented friend, Ian Mills. Thanks for listening.